Okay, so what are we going to talk about this morning? Well, a question I would like to ask us this morning is, how can this be? Would you say that? How can this be? How can this be? And it's a question that I found in a passage of Scripture which is very familiar. In fact, it may be that this passage of Scripture is too familiar. We are speaking today from what I would like us to do is rediscover the wonder of the case of John 3:16. Have we got the slides? How are we doing? There we are. Let me just see. Hopefully this is going to work. Yes, I've got it working. That's great. So the first question I want to ask you, can anybody put your hand up really high if you can do something amazing? Can anybody do something amazing? Anyone? No? Oh, Alison could do something amazing. Anybody else? Just Alison, you're the only one. Oh, no, we've got some over here. We've got a few people amazing. Some people can do something amazing. Well, oh, do you want to shout out what you can do that's amazing or... Maths, wow, yeah, give them a clap. Woo! Are there any other children who can do something amazing? Anyone else? No, because he's going to make me say something if I put my hand up. Yes, go on, what can you do? Homework, yeah. These are not the answers I expected, but I love it. I like it. Can anybody else do something? Yeah, go on. Learning. Oh, you see what kind of children we're bringing up here in Eden? Yeah, go on, Dan. Reading the Bible. Wow. Oh, I don't need to preach this morning. We'll just let our children tell us what to do, shall we? Out of the mouths of babes. Amen. Anything else? Oh, Sue, you... No, okay. Anything else anybody wants to tell me they can do that's amazing? Yeah, go on then. Persian snap. Would you like to show us what a Persian snap is, Dan? Ready? Oh, give him a clap for that. Now, that is amazing. But you know what? The real answer should have been when I said, who can do something amazing? Every single hand in this room should have gone up. Do you know why? I'm pretty sure everybody in this room is breathing right now. Do you know how amazing breathing is? It's absolutely amazing. You don't even think about it, but every time you take a breath in, you're extracting the oxygen from the air. It's going into your lungs. The oxygen is then getting transferred into your heart. The oxygen is then getting pumped around your body in your blood. And then when you breathe out, the waste product called carbon dioxide is released. Wow. Come on. How amazing is that? You've been designed absolutely amazingly. So tell me now, who in this room can do something amazing? Can anybody in this room? We can all do that and many other amazing things. But why didn't we put our hand up and say, I can breathe? Alison? That was Alison's answer. So I should have asked you. But the trouble was I couldn't have gone to you first. I had to come to you last, yeah. That was Alison's answer. See, in tune. So this is educational here this morning. Because why? But why didn't we put our hand? Why didn't anyone other than Alison put their hand up and say, "I can breathe"? Because we're just so familiar with it, aren't we? It's just so normal. It's just so. And I wonder whether sometimes we forget to do this emoji. Can everybody do their best surprised face emoji, please? Yeah, some of those were very good. Some of you didn't even bother. But there's a passage of Scripture that maybe has just become so familiar that we forget to do this. Okay, let's read this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Wow! It's amazing. A couple of weeks ago, Chris spoke to us about the story of the little boy's lunch, and he showed us this picture that you might find in a picture book, and he reminded us that although there's about 20 people in that picture, there were 5,000 plus women and children that were fed that day. We forget, we become so familiar with a story, we picture book it in our minds that it becomes less amazing than it is. And I wonder whether we've allowed sometimes familiarity to breed contempt. Sometimes contempt, which means a lack of respect or reverence for something in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, can cause us to lose the wonder of the simple things. And as simple as breathing may be, it's amazing. And as simple as that passage of scripture and as familiar as it may be, it really is amazing. We probably only hear the phrase contempt when we get the idea of contempt of court, where something's done to disrespect or not to act appropriately in a courtroom situation. And I wonder for us whether sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. Also, then last week, Marvin very helpfully helped us to put the story of the lost son into context. And he helped us to realize who that story was written for and who was it speaking to. And it's really important that we take a passage and put it in context. You might have heard me say this before, but if you take the text out of context, what are you left with? A con. The context is very important. Now, that kind of, it's not a great bit of wordplay, because any passage of scripture in and of itself is powerful and has its own, it's the word of God, and it has the ability to transform. But sometimes we don't really get the understanding of what a passage might mean or a verse might mean if we take it out of the context that it's in. The context are the parts of a discourse that surround a word, so that's the verses before, the verses after, the story that it's in, or the interrelated conditions in which something occurs. So when we want to put the Bible into context, we understand that every verse is powerful in its own right, but if we don't understand how it relates to the verses before it and after it, and we don't understand the situation it was written to, then we don't get the full idea of what it's trying to say. So let's keep it in context. And here is John 3:16 highlighted, but you'll see there are lots of words around it. So let's put it into context. And the context is that Jesus is talking to somebody called Nicodemus. Has anybody seen any of The Chosen? This is the character called Nicodemus from The Chosen. And he's one of my favorite characters, partly because I absolutely love him in another movie that he's in, but that's for another time. I was watching The Chosen one day. I was like, oh, wait a minute, that's that guy from that movie. But actually, I also really love the character that he plays in The Chosen and the way that he conveys it. And Jesus is talking to this man, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, remember last week, Marvin helped us to understand that those stories, the lost sheep, the lost coins, and the lost son, they were all being taught because Jesus was speaking to a group called the Pharisees. Remember those? Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, but he was a little bit different to some of the other Pharisees because he had some genuine questions for Jesus. And we're going to read the context. The words are going to be up on the screen, and if you can see them clearly enough, let's read them out nice and loud if you're able to read them. Let's go. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "How can this be?" "This, and I shall not identify them, is one of my children at less than an hour old." the wonder of new life when you are holding a child in your arms, as we've met Jason, who's just a couple of months old this morning, is absolutely amazing. The wonder of new life. That's amazing enough. And so Nicodemus was identifying the fact that a child has been born, but then he says, well, how can, when I'm old, I be born again? And let's also remember that Nicodemus is introduced to us here as a member of the ruling council, those who are like the rulers, the law keepers, the lawgivers. And remember that little phrase that we talked about, contempt of court, before. So he's saying, born again, how can this be? It's worth saying as well that the Greek for again there also means from above. It's a footnote that you'll see in some Bibles that will help you to understand things like this. So it can be translated as born. This is why I'm saying it's important in the context to understand more around it. It can mean born again, or it can mean born from above. So kind of spiritually born. And the reality is, this is wonderful. It's to make us wonder. It's amazing that we can be born again. And we've become so familiar with that phrase as Christians sometimes, the idea of being born again and having a sort of spiritual rebirth, the fact that God gives us a totally fresh start, we become so familiar with that that we forget just how amazing that is. It is absolutely wonderful. Let's carry on and get closer to the passage that we started with. So we're carrying on now in verse 10. If you can see the words, feel free to read them out loud with me. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes him may have eternal life in him. I wonder if I'd have asked you before we started, and some of you may well have done, but I wonder if I'd asked you, what are the two verses immediately before John 3:16? Because John 3:16 may be familiar to you, may be famous passage. I wonder if I'd have asked you, what comes, you know, a couple of verses before, whether you would have you'd have known that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about Moses lifting up a snake in the wilderness. Who would have known that? No, you don't have to put your hands up or not put your hands up. Well, that's why it's so important for us to get an understanding of how things sit in the context. What comes before this? What comes after this? What does it mean? And to gain that understanding, how can it be that Jesus is talking about Moses holding up a snake in the wilderness? Well, does anybody have any idea what that is talking about? There's a story in Numbers 21, and it says this. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. Who would have thought I'd be talking about that alongside John 3:16 this morning? How can this be? It's amazing. Well, this idea of the bronze snake is a bit of a mystery to us. It's not something that we can fully explain. It's not something that we can fully unpack. But it's likely that the stick would have looked a little bit like this artwork from Francesco Campora, which is his artistic impression of the Moses snake in the wilderness. And the fact is that the passage here, Jesus is telling us that Jesus needs to be lifted up like the snake was lifted up in the wilderness. So Moses had created a bronze snake and had put it on a pole or something that may have had a cross shaped like that. And that's more likely what Jesus's cross looked like than some of the crosses that we sometimes have. And so what's the connection between the two? Well, Jesus was lifted up upon a cross so that whoever may look to him, though we've been stung and bitten by the power of sin in our lives, we may be totally healed of all of our sin, of all of our shame, and of our sickness, and have perfect and wonderful eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so here Jesus is, remember this is before the cross, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, who's come to him in the darkness of night so that he's not seen talking to him, because he's a Pharisee. Jesus is explaining that the Son of Man, Jesus, is going to have to be lifted up, just like Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. And then, immediately from that, Jesus says these words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life." And you may have seen John 3:16 in lots of different places. It's the sort of thing that might be posted on a post-it note and left around the workplace, or posted around the house to sort of try and remind people or help people to, well, what's that all about? This famous American footballer famously had his, Tim Tebow famously had his kind of war paint on his cheeks as John 3:16 as a witness to help him express his faith. I don't know if any of you know what a baller is. Does anyone know what a baller is? I'm a baller. It means somebody who's really good at football, okay? And there's actually an organization called... Why is that so funny? Sorry? Oh, I see. My children find that funny. Boulder. I'm a boulder. Yes, I'm a boulder. Anyway, ballers. But there's a movement, an organization called Ballers in God, and it's about Christian footballers who are wanting to represent their faith, and they've actually got some merchandise and a very clever logo. The logo, B-I-G, Ballers in God, but what does it look like? 316, 316. And why might that be? Because of John 3:16. So we might be familiar with this passage. And the truth is that we usually see this passage used to reach people outside the church, and rightly so. But let's remember this. In context, the first person to hear this passage, these words spoken, was a religious ruler, a teacher of the law. He was the first person to hear that. How can this be that a religious ruler and leader, a teacher of the law, would need to hear those words spoken and have to have it explained to him what it means that we might be born again? And I wonder whether we sometimes become so familiar with the things of God that we lose the wonder of it all, that we lose the wonder of the simple things. Amazing as breathing is, how amazing is it that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that all who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life? And it carries on. The next couple of verses say this. Let's read this together. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Church, this morning, this is amazing. It's really amazing that God should love us so much that he would send his only begotten Son to come and dwell among us, to be one of us, to live a perfect life, and then to die a sinner's death upon a cross, so that we may look to him in faith and be healed and set free. It's amazing. It's amazing. In what used to be my office here, I keep a little mallet, a hammer. It's not quite as pretty as this one, but this is a gavel that a judge might use when they pass sentence. And I kept that to remind myself of the judgment that I deserve. and that I've been set free from by the love and the blood of Jesus Christ. And this, Jesus carries on to say, is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. We all know that when we've done something wrong, we want to hide it away. We don't want it broadcast for everybody to see. But Jesus goes on to say, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. And as we come towards a close, I want to ask this. Do we remember what the heart of the matter was last week when Marvin was speaking to us? The heart of the matter, as it usually is the matter of the heart. And when Jesus was telling those parables to the Pharisees, he was looking to expose their heart. They knew the law. They knew all the right things to say. They knew all the right things to do publicly. But inside, they'd lost the heart of the law. There's even a thing in our own law, which is about understanding the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law. And if you don't understand the spirit and the heart of the law, then you lose the point. So what's your verdict? What's your verdict? My encouragement to you this morning is believe in Jesus with all your heart. Believe in him with all that you are. And if we read John 3:16 in context, we can avoid familiarity breeding contempt. We can be saved. We can be born by the Spirit. And we can be free of the condemnation that we deserve. So don't be like those religious rulers who knew so much in their heads, but they didn't love Jesus in their hearts. Don't be like those. Let's not be those people. Let's be those who walk in the resurrection life of Jesus. Because although Jesus was lifted up upon the cross and he died a sinner's death, 3 days later, he rose again. So that we can live with him in resurrection, eternal life. We shall not perish. We shall not perish. But we shall have eternal life. Wow. Don't lose the wonder of what John 3:16 really means. Don't let familiarity be contempt. Let's keep our emoji faces surprised at the wonder of the simple things of our faith. Amen? Amen? So the other thing that Chris did a couple of weeks ago, now this one might be easier than the one that Chris did. We finished by having it as a planted and seedlings style memory verse. So here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but shall have eternal life. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, did I miss a bit? I don't even know what I missed. Anyway, let's go. Last time. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And everybody said, amen. Amen.